Let's go to fourth chapter of Timothy, verses 3 and 4. I guess that was supposed to be 2 Timothy. I am sorry about that. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap upon themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Well, we do see that a lot. We see paganism rising again. We can even see all the way back to Greek mythology rising again. We see the Wiccan movement rising again, which is sort of based on Celtic mythology and other mythologies. It's something that's out there, and it's something we really have to pay attention to, not because we need to play with these things, but because we need to be aware. These are things that some people believe, and it's very difficult as a Christian trying to spread the gospel to preach something to these people. They're normally not going to be very open. In fact, they normally work very much against them because these beliefs are basically straight from Satan himself. They're completely and contrary to what we believe. I don't go too much into this, but it's just something I wanted to touch upon. And then there's atheism. We all know what atheism is. It's that they don't believe there's God. But there's also a large group of atheists that say that there's no God because they're angry at God. And that's the part you really need to remember. There's a lot of them that are just angry at God because they don't believe God answered their prayers on a certain subject, or God wasn't there for them in their worst times, and it sort of bothers them. And turns them against God. If you get them to truly answer him, probably remember this from the movie God's Not Dead, where Kevin Sorbo's character admits he hates God. It's not that he didn't believe there's a God, but he hates God. And if you ever get in an argument, how many times have you heard an atheist say, well, won't you be surprised when you die there's no God? My response is always a little different than most. How? And I get that sort of blank stare. They say, well, what do you mean? How will I be surprised? Well, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, if your premise is true, that when I die, I am, how can I possibly be surprised? Because there's nothing of me there to be surprised. But if I'm right, you're the one who's going to be surprised because your soul lives on. Now, this is part that I really want to get into. We have a lot of churches nowadays that preach that your sin is not actually sin. We see that all the time now. I remember this very well. I had not become turn my life over to Christ yet. My parents had owned a tavern, and it was slow during an afternoon, and I was reading the Decatur Herald Review. This was probably 26, 27 years ago. And there was a story about an adult video store. And this particular video store was in basically a neighborhood rather than a business. And everybody in that neighborhood was trying to get them to shut down. And I will never forget this. The thing that they said in that article was, well, we're Christians. Our pastor knows about this. This is 26 years ago. It's gotten worse now. And as a non-Christian at the time, even my mind said, You are making your living off of selling sin, causing others to sin to further your business, and you're telling me you're a Christian. Now that's something we really have to watch for. Now we all struggle with sin on a daily basis. Some people it's going to be the same sin every day. Some people it's going to be different sins at different times that we struggle with. We're human. We are imperfect creations of a perfect Creator. But when you have Christians that talk about making their living off of sin, other people's sin, selling it to cause other people to sin, we've got a problem. This is all over the place. Well, this isn't really sin. I'm not going to get too far involved in it. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about here. That isn't sin. God really didn't mean it that way. Just some obscure verses in the Bible. It really doesn't matter. Well, if it's in the Bible and we believe the Bible is the written word of God, how is that verse obscure? Especially when it's backed up by other verses. The other thing we have is so many churches now will go, and I'll use this as an example. John 3:16, we all know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But then they end it there. Why do they end it there? Because then there's no responsibility. To them it means, well, Jesus died for our sins. That's all that matters. Well, no, it don't. Because let's go to the rest of it. For whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. If I don't believe that Jesus died for me, then I haven't accepted that gift of salvation. And that's one of the hard things for some people to understand. But some people think that Jesus just died for his sins. We're all good. We're all great. But then they want to wallow in their sins. And then we also have the, I'm not that bad. Well, no, you may not be that bad. I bartended at my parents' tavern for several years. And I saw a lot of good people in that bar. I've also seen some of the worst of people in that bar. sorry, no matter what, it is a little bit of a distraction, but go ahead.
Preach on, brother.
God bless you on your music today. Okay, now where was I?
Bartending.
It was a terrible experience, but it was also a good experience. Because I come later in my life to Jesus Christ, the one thing I do understand very well is how easy it is for us to struggle with our sin. Anyway, Jesus said that it wasn't just what we did that was sin. It was our thoughts. Because what did Jesus say? You have been told not to commit adultery. Ten Commandments. Now, I'm obviously paraphrasing here. Because if I go into every bit, I'm going to drag on way too long. But then he said, if anyone who looks upon a woman and lust in his heart has already committed adultery. Now that's a high standard. Can anyone here ever say that they have not been angry for no reason? That they have not had a lustful thought? That they haven't thought ill will of their parents? Honor thy father and mother. No, I don't think any of us can. If anyone here has never had a thought that could be sinful and by Jesus' standard, please raise your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm in good company. We're all sinners saved by grace. Then we also have some churches, some beliefs that focus on who killed Jesus. We have the Jews killed Jesus. We have the Romans killed Jesus. In fact, the Jews killed Jesus was where a lot of anti-Semitism comes from. But I want to tell you something. I killed Jesus. If you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you killed Jesus. Because that's the reason why he came, is to save us from our sin. I said, this time I am jumping around, and I don't care much for jumping around like this, but it was a little more important to go through. Now I want to talk a little bit about teachings that shouldn't be a church's focus. How many of you get up early in the morning and occasionally will watch TV that early in the morning, sort of flip through the stations? How many of you seen this one pastor that constantly talks about your financial seed? Anybody seen that pastor on TV? Marty, thank you. Thank you. What he does is every day, every morning, half hour, give your seed and you'll be financially blessed. Every single day, that's what you hear. There's no preaching beyond that. Yes, it is biblical. But if I would come up here every Sunday and say, if you give, you will be blessed. If you give, you will be blessed. God will bless you with great financial blessings. You're going to start wondering, is he in this trying to get more money? And you would rightfully have every reason to ask that question. Then we also have preaching grace without sin. Well, if you don't talk about sin, at least occasionally, then what's the need for a Savior? Yes, God's grace is great. It's beyond measure. But if we don't admit to ourselves of our sin, then why do we need a Savior to begin with? You understand what I'm saying here? I know I'm sort of hit and miss and rapid fire. If we don't admit we have sin, and we are only dependent on God's grace, sort of similar to what I was talking about using only half of John 3:16. If we don't admit our sin, then why do we even need a Savior to begin with? Well, we need a Savior. Thank God for Jesus' blood on the cross. Because I'm going to tell you, without that, I am a wretched individual. He's changed my life greatly. And that's the other problem we also see, is we have people who will accept Jesus Christ, but doesn't allow God to change our heart. You'll see that a lot. I've seen that in a lot of churches. The other thing I want to mention is religious ceremony. This is where we are really seeing a lot of problems in communities today. Well, you know those Methodists, they believe this or that. Or the Presbyterians this or that. Whatever. Well, that's religious ceremony. That's not what God cares about. He cares of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What was the one group that Jesus called a den of vipers? It was the Pharisees, the religious leaders of their time. Now, why is that? Because they focus on the religious ceremony. You remember the saying, you wash the outside of the cup, but inside is all sorts of rot and decay. Obviously, paraphrasing. Each one of these subjects that I have talked about do deserve their own sermon. You need to know what is out there, what you're going to face when you're out there talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is what each and every one of us is called to do. It's the most difficult thing for us to do, especially in today's world. As I said earlier, we have been told to sit down and shut up. We can't sit down and shut up and be true to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus say? If you deny me, I will deny you. If we're not willing to be out there and doing, being out there and saying, we are denying our Lord and Savior. The other thing that's a problem is we have a tendency towards arrogance. Now let me give you a little example of that. I was in a Sunday school, a little church that I was getting ready to preach in, and there's a couple ladies talking. And I don't mean to use you ladies as an example, it's just how I happened to hear this. And they were talking to each other. And they said, well, so-and-so, the only thing they do is listen to Christian music. Isn't that a shame that they limit themselves that much? And I'm just sitting there going, so you are going to complain about somebody who has decided that they prefer Christian music, that they don't want to listen to the secular music? Does that mean they're actually wrong? No. It means that that's what they prefer. They want to keep focused on Jesus Christ throughout the day. And that does not make somebody wrong who wants to listen to the gospel. We've got to keep our focus on what really matters, not the little differences that we have. Because let's face it, we all have a tendency towards arrogance. I know what's better for that church. I know what's better for you. We see that in politics. We see that in our daily lives. And let's face it, once in a while, between husbands and wives, you see it amongst yourselves. It happens. It's because we're people. These things require us to pray for ourselves as well. Because we have a problem with wanting to admit what we need prayer for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. You are so great. You are our perfect Lord. We ask that you protect us, that you guide us, and that you give us knowledge of your will for us, that we can follow you completely. In the holy name of Jesus, I pray.